Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 64, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Googs and social meds. It's Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack on Track, which is what we are now that we are once again joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Bermuda, McDonald's, come on, little Donald, Mar-a-Lago, what ego, baby, why don't he go down to smoke a bowl, Der Zeit Podcast, and then we'll make you woke. Miles said he's down to roll a blunt. Come down and smoke a bowl.
Wait, do you smoke weed?
I've tried it.
What?
I tried it for the first time in Japan.
That's crazy, man.
The weed there is very strong.
Is it?
So strong that I quit weed right after that. No, you don't want to smoke weed in Japan. It's
right.
The laws. They fucking almost banned Paul McCartney's ass for life.
Drugs are a big deal in Asia.
Yeah, well, it's funny because there's loopholes, too. Like, MDMA, like, if you cooked it up in your house, like, you could sell it in the street. And then, like, only, like, if, like 7 or 8 years ago, they tightened that up. Like, you could walk on the street and some dude had a suitcase. It's like, yeah, MDMA, MDMA.
Oh, really?
But
yeah.
Just MDMA.
Well, I mean, yeah, ecstasy, like, as long as it was
they
ecstasy.
They were like, we like ecstasy.
Well, they didn't realize that, like, there was
they didn't
a
know
way
what
to,
it was.
Yeah, like, psychedelic drugs, like, were kind of, they tightened a lot.
They were like,
stuff.
What does that tell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was from Just TDZ, AKA's. Person
TDZ
put in
AKAs,
fucking work.
I know, man. I got to start digging into those. But Super Producer Nick Stump was like, hey, maybe we don't sing the AKAs this year. Put me in my head because I'm a bad singer. But Miles just tore his sweatshirt.
All right.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian you know from Crooked Media's Hysteria and Love It or Leave It and the NFL's Twitter show, The Checkdown. She is the hilarious Megan Gailey.
I
thought you were going to add Blue Diamond on.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Your sound guy had to hear me have a conversation on the phone earlier, and it wasn't even about Blue Diamond Almonds, but the Blue Diamond Almonds came up.
Oh, really?
Oh, interesting.
Oh yeah, people bring it up to me.
Oh, call you Blue Diamond Phillips.
Well, yeah, and there was a man at like a bagel store staring at me, just like staring, 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 and I went up and I was like, almonds. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought he was a
trying
fan
to put
of
his
my
finger
work.
On it, yeah.
Yes.
Maybe he was just a fan of my face.
Just okay.
Very symmetrical.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thing of almonds.
Actually, I feel like I've got a crooked eye, but.
All right.
Do you?
Shout out to the rapper Crooked
Maybe
Eye.
There's an eye lower. I don't know. There's definitely photos where I'm like, that eye is going somewhere.
Yeah.
Not like looking.
Going places.
It's like where it's
no,
placed.
No, your face is perfectly symmetrical.
I think that eye has a career. And that's why I say that eye is going somewhere.
Do you even know which eye I'm talking about?
Fuck no.
I think it's my right eye's lower,
we're the,
maybe.
Obviously, we are our own worst critics when looking at pictures right. of ourselves. And
yeah,
like, oh
true.
My God, that's my fucked eye.
Oh, God.
I like a bad picture of me.
Oh, yeah.
From time to time, though. Let the people know. Listen,
yeah.
I'm like you.
You're like, yeah,
I'm not
human?
Beautiful every day. Most
just,
days.
Just 99% of
most
the time.
Most days, yes.
Most
but,
days. Is that a Prince
know.
Hat?
No.
Oh, okay. No, I don't mean Prince the singer. I mean
the
Prince tennis the
tennis
racket.
Yes, no, it's not
but
Prince.
It looks
the
just...
P does look like that. Yeah. Yeah, it's a company called Palace.
Oh, okay. All right. Hello, Palace.
Hello.
Hey,
Hi.
Guys.
How you doing?
All right, Megan, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're talking about that burnout article by Anne Helen Peterson from BuzzFeed that a lot of people are talking about. It's about the millennials being the burnout generation. And yeah, we're just going to dig into that, talk about our feelings when it comes Good. To being burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a quick check-in with Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards, about the story of the Saudi 18-year-old who fled her family to Thailand. And super producer Anna Hosnier is going to come on because we wrote an article back at Cracked about a young woman who had to flee her family when she visited them in Pakistan, and super producer Anna Hosnier was talking about how this is a thing that happens a lot, people having to, you know, escape their home country, which is crazy. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about just the general clusterfuckery in the White House, Mike Pence, and nonstop being caught in lies. We're still decompressing from the wild press conferences that happened last night, so we won't talk about those. The addresses to the nation.
Or maybe they haven't happened yet.
Right, or maybe they haven't happened.
I was like, where are we?
Yes. And yeah, we'll talk about the wall, we'll talk about Kevin Spacey, all of that and more. But first, Megan, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, you know what? I just got engaged.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. I was going to say.
Thank you.
That... I was blinded by the light
pulling
off your finger.
Thank you. You know what? I was.
It's beautiful.
We're all a little rude when we get engaged, I think, because he was like, is it big enough? I go, well, it could always be bigger. But that's not nice. But that's not what I meant. I mean, that's how I feel about sandwiches, like everything.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But now I'm like, yes, I don't want to be on stage. And people be like, why is she doing stand up? She's obviously a sultan. So right. I'm happy it's more modest.
Uh-huh.
I've been looking
it's
at
not that modest,
lots of.
I know. I was about to be like, God.
As a man, I must speak
I
up
know,
for
really
your
sad.
Fiance.
No, and I've
that
put it next
diamond,
to other people's rings.
Graves.
And they're like, what the fuck? So it's a lot of wedding dresses right now.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
I'm going wedding dress shopping.
Traditional? You do some traditional, a little something modern. What you feeling?
I think it'll be pretty traditional. I mean, okay. There was a lot of, your listeners are probably not care about this. For a long time, it was strapless sweetheart cut.
Uh-huh.
I hate that. Okay. And I hope I never see it ever again. So I'll be doing a little spin on
strappy.
Whatever.
Like lots of straps.
Lots
just straps
of straps.
Everywhere.
All
yeah.
straps.
Yes.
But no, I'm not going to have like a suit or a cape.
No.
It'll be, no, I'll
oh,
be in a dress.
Oh, this dress, yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, it wasn't that dress like every, and it was like fitted. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had the belt, a bedazzled belt.
Yep.
But it is, I mean, you're married.
I am.
So you've gone through the process.
I have.
They lie to you. Some of these people are liars.
What do you mean?
Some of these women.
Like that they're happy for you?
No, they're oh. lying to you. They just tell you
they
things.
They tell you it looks great when
I've
it doesn't.
I've started.
Oh,
well,
okay.
No, actually, I want a show where I tell people it doesn't look good. Because
right.
I've been at bridal appointments now, and people are trying on dresses, and I'm like, please don't get that dress. Like, I don't
right.
know them. I don't know who these friends are.
excuse me, ma'am.
I'm yeah. looking at their friends, what they're wearing. I'm like, why are you listening to this
person? That would
person?
Be a show called That Ain't It.
Uh-huh. It's, say
where
no
you
to
come
that
out
dress.
Of nowhere, you go, uh-uh, honey, that ain't it.
No, and I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
I'm
lost,
here to help, yeah.
lost souls.
My wife, when my first job out of school was working at ABC News, and they had that show, What Would You Do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's still on.
Yeah. It's still on sporadically. But they cast my wife to do like one of the hidden camera things
uh-huh.
where she went wedding dress shopping and just put on like wild, ugly dresses. Yeah. And then like would see if her friends were honest. And
It was even her friends.
Yeah, it was her
not
friends.
Even strangers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, if your friends are not honest, then.
They were like, well, if that's what you want to do, because it was a pantsuit.
Because she was saying she loved it.
Yeah, she was like, this is, you guys, I found the dress. This is what I want to do.
Well,
and it was a
nice.
Pantsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
They were being respectful of her.
But in a way
wishes.
That, yeah, if she was being real, she would have realized they were not fans.
I've only gone dress shopping once, and the woman was like, it was the day after we got engaged. I got so drunk the night we got engaged, I puked my bed.
Oh.
And then went drunk. Like, the woman was like, do you have a Pinterest board? I was like, oh, no. I don't. I'm not even alive right now.
Right. I also got very sick the night I got engaged.
Yeah, you sick drinking.
I think it was, but then I had the flu for like 48 hours. So
oh, no.
I think we also like right after we got engaged, I had a limo. We went and drank champagne out of cups that it was pretty clear were not clean.
Oh,
oh
and
yeah.
I was just like, yeah, but what's the worst that can happen? We're engaged.
Alcohol kills it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what is that? A tadpole? Some swimming in there? Whatever, man. Fuck it.
I've said alcohol kills it.
So often.
So,
oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Truly famous last words. And champagne, no. Maybe like Everclear.
Yes.
Could right. Sanitize.
Proper grain alcohol.
A limousine glass?
Yes.
That is.
Ecolab couldn't even.
I mean,
even
there could have been like semen in that.
Oh, for sure. There for sure was. And I had the effects. I got very sick.
And now I have the unquenchable thirst.
Made her take me up on the sickness and health thing.
Yeah.
Before she made the
she was
promise.
Like, I'm rethinking this.
Yeah. Yes. What is something you think is underrated?
I think the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, that O-line, though.
But you know what? I don't want them to be rated because the right. best thing you can do for any team, and I'm not even saying this as my own team, is ignore them. That
right.
really lights a fire
yeah,
the under
nobody
them.
Believed
so
in
when
us?
You start talking about them, that's bad.
Right.
Because you want them on their worst behavior.
So I actually think
worst.
They're rated mm-hmm. correctly.
Okay.
Okay.
But
their O-line
you know what I mean.
Is amazing, though, and Andrew Luck is...
And their defense.
Yeah,
I think their
defense
was
really
underrated.
Impressive in the first round of the playoffs. Shout out to the Indianapolis Colts.
God, I've really made this segment a lot about me.
Well,
that's the whole point
the whole
of
point.
This.
Okay, you're right.
What is something you think is overrated?
Bird Box. Listen, I
Whoa!
Haven't seen it. I'm not going to see it.
I haven't seen it either.
Not going to see it. I don't like the way it's being marketed to me.
Okay.
I don't think Daquan wanted to make memes about it. I don't
right.
think the internet, or like Netflix, you've got some dirty money in some dirty places, and you are forcing it down our throats, and that's making me boycott it. Like,
oh, so you think they put Daquan on to
yes!
make those memes?
Oh, I think all of them. Bird Box Challenge, you think that just like, no, this shit is mm-hmm. fabricated. They made it up.
Okay.
I would have found this movie on my own, and now I am actively avoiding it because I think they tricked us into something. Remember when everybody was like putting their pictures up to see what, well, twinning is happening now, but then to see like what Renaissance painting
right,
they
right.
were.
Yeah,
and then people
Google
were like, this
app.
Is actually so they can scan our face so they can like find where we are at all times.
Right.
Bird Box, you're up to something.
Right.
Oh, wow.
For
okay,
sure.
That's
I don't
a
like
take.
It.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I'll probably watch it just because I've heard about it.
Yes.
But what is funny, like when I was in Japan, they were marketing it. And like I was in this this part of Tokyo where there was like this huge screen playing like a trailer for it, and it starts off with like her screaming and like a child crying, and like if you're just
that's
out and about,
unsettling.
You're gonna like twist your neck and be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
is this? And it worked because you thought some shit was going down, and then
right.
you watch and it was like Bird Box, and I was
yeah.
like, "Wow, they know how to prey on people's
but
fears
that's,
to market
that's
this."
That's like songs that have sirens in them.
Right.
Because you'll hear it and be like, what? If you're driving,
yeah.
that's dangerous. Like,
yeah.
I don't, when I'm in a large place outside, like Tokyo with thousands of people around me.
You don't want to hear a distressed
cry
of a
I don't
want
to hear Sandra Bullock screeching.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you don't know it's Sandra Bullock.
No.
Yeah.
And
if
it
you
could
go,
be, right.
hey guys, this is Sandy.
Right.
I go,
okay
I'm not afraid.
Take a breath here.
But I think it's a woman.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you ever, I've heard
children.
A, there was a mother in a train station in Milan. I was like stopping
wow.
there on the
okay.
way.
Lex.
And she
on your way
was,
to get your diamond ring?
I was going to mine for conflict-free diamonds.
Right. Wait, where do you go wedding dress shopping?
Oh,
Milan,
oh, well, I mean, Milan.
I actually was like,
gauche.
I think I was 18 and was like trashy and trying to like steal weed across the borders. I was I was very like broke down palace trip. But there was a woman screaming her son's name, like bloody murder, and that like makes me never want to go to Milan ever again. Like I'm scarred by I don't know if she found her son. Like she lost him in a crowded train station. Okay. It was, I mean, that is like a terrifying.
Yeah.
So yeah, to just be playing that as like.
It's weird. Because everyone, I saw everybody's head turn when that happened. Because everyone was like, you know, it was like mall music. And then like, oh no! Like you just hear that shit. And I was like, what the fuck?
Maybe
and then I was like hey,
the
Bird Box.
Maybe in the 70s. I mean, I know Japan doesn't have a mass shooting issue like we do here. Right. But it's like, we're living in a time where like being out in public is sometimes very frightening,
can be frightening
for people.
Yeah. For
I get
sure.
scared going to the movies. Yeah, I was in Mary Poppins, like, oh, I hope I don't go out like this.
You were in Mary Poppins, the movie?
No. I was just
in the theater.
I was just sitting there. Actually, the man next to me, 30 seconds into the movie, turns to his girlfriend and goes, it's a musical? and then was furious.
Wow.
Stayed in the movie. Stayed in the theater, clutching his jacket. At one point, hands on his head. Ugh.
Right. Oh my God, really?
And I'm like, sir, how did you not know?
It's Mary fucking Poppins. What do you think? This is the
And even if you didn't know it was a musical, like what? Lin-Manuel is in it.
Right.
You think we're picking him for his acting?
Right.
Although that was false advertising because I assumed that it was like
supercalifragilistic.
Moana. Yeah. Like he was going to be, you know, having the rhymes, and instead it was not written by him at all, right?
He had a little rap breakout in one of the songs.
Okay.
I think he did. Yeah, he had a rap segment.
I just like the idea of this dude being so mad at his spouse or partner or whatever, being like, oh, it's a musical.
And it's like, you know,
who
that woman.
Damn it, Karen.
That woman has sat through every fucking Avenger.
Right.
And has probably done it with a smile and been like, oh, yeah, I liked when
I
they disappear.
When
you know, like,
did that.
Yeah, she's probably being supportive. And it's like, this is the one thing she wanted to see because she watched it with her grandmother who's now passed.
Right.
And you're like, going to shit on it.
I'm going to pull out my hair transplants over this.
That's terrible.
He's
take
probably
a spoonful
like,
of sugar.
He's like, you owe me sex after this.
Yeah.
Like on some real toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Something that I know to be. I think bread is fine for you.
Okay.
I think you can eat bread.
Yeah. Bread is wonderful.
I don't know why when bread became the enemy. I love bread. I eat bread all the time.
Yeah.
How long could you go without bread?
Is
there a more meaningful starch to you? Because some people are like, I could not eat bread forever. Just, I have to have rice. Or like, I have to have potatoes.
I honestly think of them as the same. Like, all that part of the pyramid is all lovely to me. What could I could probably go without pasta for a little bit.
Mm. A little bit.
A little bit. I could not have a noodle for like 10 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is that a long time?
That sounds like you roll heavy with the noodles.
Yeah, I love a noodle. Pasta, I love a rice. I love bread. I mean, it's just hard to just do no carbs.
Sure.
I think that's the myth. It's like, stop.
I mean, I'm sure there is. Yeah, look, I mean, there's science to back up certain things. But at the end of the day, look, if you're happy, you know, that's all that matters.
Yeah. And some people are like, well, you know, I don't have bread when I go out to restaurants. And that's, I'm like, I do.
Yeah.
I ask for more.
Free right
I get
there.
More. I always ask for more chips. I'm like, keep the chips coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Free starch is the wave.
Everything in moderation, you guys.
Yes. Including smoking, guys. Like, let's get over it. Smoking is fine for you.
Right.
Smoking is fine.
Tobacco, just don't shoot up the meth. Oh.
Right.
Oh,
speaking
cigarettes.
Of shooting up the meth, that Democratic donor.
Oh,
guys.
Yo.
Jesus Christ.
The second black man to die in his apartment in the last 2 years.
So, listen, I watched like the new, you know, LA news story about it last night. His lawyer was on. Now, his lawyer is saying that he, first of all, they kept saying a house and then they showed it. And I was like, this is an apartment that doesn't even have central air.
Right.
You know, like I'm seeing a window unit poking out.
Right.
And this man's a don't. I want more for him, first of all.
Ooh.
I know.
That is
and
definitely
then,
not his like main residence. That's
where he probably
shoots people up with
meth. But his lawyer was saying that he has like opened his doors to people that are like hard on their luck. And part of the like side effects of that is sometimes people OD in your house. And
right.
I'm like, I don't know.
Well, they found,
that's
well, one
stretch.
Of the people, the first person who died, Jamel Moore, the woman who is the lawyer for his family, like they have like his journal entries. And he
that's
like graphically describes how this dude got him hooked on onto meth.
No.
And, yeah.
And
he was
is he on meth?
No, I don't know. His fantasy could just be like having these like people get into like a fiend state and just trying to like the power play of giving them the drugs and then having sex with them. It's really dark
it's
shit.
When you really, really like traffic scary.
No, it's on some like there are people outside saying like this is on some Get Out type shit. Where
yeah.
They're like if you see somebody going in there, warn them about this person. And a lot of and there are people other people have said like, yo, he's kind of known to want to like party and play. Yeah. And do
is
some-
he openly gay?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. Because I saw that there was like a demonstration out there and they were like yelling at the neighbors, like, right. You're complicit. And this woman's like, what?
Right.
I like live four stories away from him.
Right.
Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on in other people's homes.
But it, for people who don't know, Edward Buck is a big Democratic donor who a lot of candidates have had to give his donations back to him because he had somebody die of a drug overdose in his apartment. 2 years ago, that person, like Miles said, had a journal entry that was like, this is the dude who got me hooked on drugs. He actually injected them. And now, very recently, another young black man was found dead of a drug overdose.
Well, this man was older, I think.
Yeah,
he was in
but
his
they
50s.
Were saying, like, who cares?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, like, it's just one of those things, too, where the first person who died, his death wasn't thoroughly investigated despite, like, a lot of information.
And now
being,
there's
like,
another. You
yeah,
think one
you think
person
now.
Dies in your house, you're like, guys, we got to clean up our act.
Yeah. But
you
when
know?
It's like a
or move.
Sex and drug thing, like, you know, the
know.
People like that can't help
and wealthy white man.
His
yeah.
lawyer looked like a Disney villain, too.
Yes.
His hair was like, and he had a crazy name. Like, I just was like, I don't, this lawyer's bad.
Right.
Mm. He's good. Like, good. I would hire him, but he bad.
Right.
Like, he's so like, bad.
He's like, I will defend Satan in court.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He'd be like, listen, he likes heat.
Yeah.
Right.
And red is his favorite color. He looks good.
Right. All right. Let's talk briefly about this burnout article that people are talking about. Were you guys familiar with it? Did you
yes,
read it?
Yes, I've been, and I've been seeing lots of millennials reacting to it as
right,
well.
Right, about how we as millennials we're in a constant state of being burnt out, essentially.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because we're always on the clock. We need to be reachable by mobile phone. There's also the, like, you always feel like you should be tweeting or doing something on social media to build your brand, and that just leads to this feeling of burnout. That I don't necessarily know is specific to the generation as much as it's just specific to the world now. Like,
yeah.
I know a lot of people who are, you know, older than me who live this life and
like
are
always
also
on
burnt
call.
Out. Yeah,
well, but I think
call.
The thing that might be a little more specific to us generationally is like the lack of security in terms of careers and those
right.
other things, because we were coming out, like we're joining the workforce on either side of the financial crisis.
Right.
Where we had limited opportunity, and then also like the weight of not having health insurance and all these other costs of living now that are purely like new things for our generation, where our parents are like, hey, I was able to go to college this, that, and the other way and also provide for a family coming up. The economy was strong, and now it's just like a lot of young people having to balance many different things and making sure that all of the bills are paid. It's
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I generationally I agree. It's like the middle class is shrinking no matter what age
right,
you are.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of people who are post college tend to be middle class because you are having to pay off debt, and you're also trying, like, I'm 32 years old, about to be 33. I can take trips. I can, you know, I can live freely. Could I buy a house? Fuck
right.
no.
Right,
you
right.
know, and part of that is I live in Los Angeles. I could buy a house in like Topeka,
yeah.
But we're also fleeing sort of the center of the country a little bit too. So a lot of millennials have choose to live in more expensive places. So some of it is sort of just environmental. Some
yeah.
of it is societal. But yeah, is it the internet? Probably.
Yeah, it seems like it's
people
a lot
really
of
want to like you go on vacation. Those are the times you're like really, or you're just over the holidays. But like. Everybody is on their phones more.
Right.
It's like Instagram stories about your nieces.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look at these palm trees where I'm laying out. Like, you almost need to have rules if it's something that stresses you out to be
yeah.
like, you got to unplug at some point.
Yeah, that was the thing that really resonated with me. She wrote, everything good is bad and bad is good. Like, feeling like you're fucking up when you're supposed to be relaxing because you're not working, and then only feeling okay about yourself when you're working your ass off. It's right. Like,
because you're just, like, oh, I'm justifying my existence
right.
now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like deathly ill. I mean, not deathly, that's an over exaggeration, but you can hear right. from my voice. I probably over exaggerate in times of like when I want pity. But I was really, really sick, couldn't get out of bed for 2 days. And I was like, ugh, I feel like such a piece of shit. And it's like, I can't do anything.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm
What are
gross.
The rules in which it's okay to be incapacitated?
Yeah. And so you sort of almost have to like embrace being sick of yeah. like, oh, I'm going to watch 7 episodes of 90 Day Fiancé,
hey.
And that's fine, because I can't go anywhere. Those mm-hmm. who disobey the queen will die,
oh,
you know?
Oh, my God, Larissa.
Larissa.
Oh, did you see that? You see that the finale?
So I've seen the finale. I just haven't seen the tell-all yet.
Ooh, it gets spicy.
I can't
Yo,
wait. I mean,
she
needs a spinoff. She needs yeah. her own show. She is TV gold.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't worry. That's why I'm about to spin
and
off of
Colt, his body is the craziest. I've never seen a man shaped like that.
Colty?
Yeah.
Colty is, he's unique.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way, but it's, you know when you see a pear-shaped man and mm-hmm. you're taken aback?
Yes.
I think that's why Washington was able to be our first president. If we had been living in an era with like technology where we could see photos, you'd be like, I don't know if a man with wide-set hips like that can be.
Wait, Washington has wide-set hips?
Washington was pear-shaped.
Wow.
He had a very feminine body.
Ooh, oh, look he had at that junk in the trunk?
Yeah.
Ooh.
The other place where the argument about it being a generational thing came into focus is in the discussion of 90 Day Fiancé, which actually takes up most of the article.
As it should.
Just the other generation and media's version of millennials
right.
as
yeah.
being lazy and unreliable or late for things or unable to accomplish basic tasks. And it's like, we're like coming into a shitty economy. The workplace is like a more hostile place than it's ever been. And technology has made our lives more difficult than they've been in your experience.
Yeah, the errand paralysis thing was really kind of what struck me too was
yeah.
just sort of like the idea that like, yeah, they were talking about, there was that piece that came out where a bunch of money was like, I don't know if I can vote in the midterms. Like, I don't know if I can handle it. And people were like, oh my God, can you believe this? Whereas they're also looking at how increasingly like millennials, like we've found ways to do things more efficiently.
Right.
But things that require like mailing shit in and those other things,
yeah.
just like we just freeze up. Like they were talking right. about one person had like hundreds of dollars of clothing that didn't fit because they couldn't just get their shit together
Return
enough
it.
To do it, because these are tasks that like require a lot of energy but low
a stamp.
Payoff. Yeah.
I'm wearing a bra right now that does not fit because I was like, I don't know how to send it back.
Right.
So
right.
I'm like, I wear it. I own it. It's I wear it every day. Does not fit, isn't comfortable, but I'm like, you know what? It was sent to my house. It's
yeah.
mine.
And Venmo Megan some money so she can get a new bra.
I yes. need a new
and a new ring.
I do think that if there had been the internet 30 years ago, there would have been articles about like baby boomers, these
oh,
pieces
yeah. no,
of shit.
Totally.
Like
no.
I think it's just, we're so insulated in our like thought. We just analyze things so much more, and I think a lot of it to a fault.
Yeah.
And by the way, there were articles about how baby boomers were pieces of shit. It was
yeah,
just
and there are
different
now.
Arguments.
Yeah, because they were
turns
dumb
out
hippies.
They were right.
Look at these fucking hippies.
Turns out those articles were right. Sorry, baby boomers. There's just this job posting and an article about this article that I wanted to read that I think
Whoa.
Gets at like something. Sort of the mindset that caused the problem we're describing.
This is meta.
Yeah,
so there's someone posted this job posting. A 28-year-old entrepreneur is detailing the requirements to be his part-time assistant. He says, if you want to clock in and clock out of your job, this isn't for you. And reminds people that high performers work until their tasks are done, not just until the clock runs out. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I understand that to a point, and I don't, right? Because, like, I see people, younger people, too, have just terrible work ethic in
yeah.
general, and I think maybe that's what they're getting at. But the idea that it's like, you are not allowed to separate your personal time from your work time is
mm-hmm.
an absurd thing to sort of ask of someone, and just to be someone's assistant,
yes,
28-year-old entrepreneur.
To me.
But I also see people who are, like, at other jobs I've worked at where young people are, like, wildly, like, just, like, trying to run the clock out.
Yeah.
And then be like, all right, gotta go. Don't call me. Can't do anything. But maybe they're just taking care of themselves.
I
also
not
think
seen
this,
that as much.
This 28-year-old is just a dickhead.
Right.
You know, like
yeah.
sure. I've seen, you know, we live in LA. We've met assistants of very, very famous people. And some of them, I would say, are really, really happy and are like, they're listen, is it 24 hours? Yeah, but are they going to text me at 2 a.m. and be like, I want a milk bar crack
right,
pie?
Right,
no,
right,
they're like right. respectful, normal human beings yeah. that understand boundaries. This sounds like he wants to do it for the sake of like, I work hard, you work. I mean, this is a work yeah. hard, play hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck off.
Or just kind of like, I'm going to fucking just boss you the fuck around.
Yeah.
And that's all I need. I want to be able to yell at somebody.
Yeah, and what is his business? He probably right. makes like silly swim trunks.
Right. yeah, and... check out the article, the burnout article, if any of this resonates with you. I will say the first person they interview is a millennial talking about how he can't vote, and he was the least relatable of all the complaints, so don't get too
the person who let down. The clothes rot in their closet, I was like,
yes.
bro, I'm so bad at returning
yes.
shit.
Yeah,
I'll just
yeah.
be like, I'll make it work.
Yeah.
Like, my dog will eat fucking like mouse food.
And by the way, it's worth going through like this whole article and think about which of these things are good for corporations and which of them are bad. Every single one is like good for corporations. We've
right.
just turned into
they get
a
more
world,
out of us.
Yeah, right. they get more like we keep the shit because we don't want to return it. And also
right.
we're like the perfect worker bees. Like it's all just America buying more and more into the, you know, corporatocracy. Sorry.
We got to get a work-life balance.
Yes.
We got to look at these Denmarks and, you know, these
well, yeah.
Nordic countries that... Yeah. Listen, do they have the highest rate of alcoholism? Sure. Do they have the most vacation days? Yes.
Exactly.
You know, like, come on.
Well, they'll yeah. say that's why another reason why democratic socialism is becoming more popular amongst millennials is because all these pressures of having to like provide your own health care and like going bankrupt has got people being like, hold the fuck up, man. This
yeah.
is stressing me the fuck out. Why are we the only fucking country where I have to worry about
oh,
this shit?
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think that's like, you know, I think as part of the self-care is realizing the things that we actually shouldn't be responsible for and what, you know, the corporations or employers and government needs to actually step in to help.
Well, and right. I think women, you know, women talk a lot about, there was a British article that came out about safety work. And so women are having to do even added number of like, I have to go this way so I don't get fucking killed.
Right.
Like there's all
oh,
these
like
extra things. We're just like, oh, I'm going to try and survive.
Right.
Truly, truly. Like I can't live certain places, walk certain streets.
You're talking
because...
about that in like New York, right? Like the commute, they called it like the woman's commuter tax
yeah.
about how women have to be more considerate or not considerate, but have to consider the risks of like
100%.
The modes of transportation
right.
they take or the way they get to somewhere.
I would pick apartments in New York where I was like, listen, this place is more expensive, but I'll be taking less cars home because I won't be walking 14 blocks
right.
from train station to house at 2 a.m.
Right.
because
yeah.
you cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
It is too frightening.
All right. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back, and we are now joined by super producer Anna Hosnier and host of Behind the Bastards, Robert Evans. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
So I wanted to talk to you guys about the Saudi teenager, Rahaf Alkanun, who basically ran away from her family, barricaded herself in a Bangkok airport hotel room to prevent officials from sending her back to her family. And Robert, I wanted to get you on specifically because we kind of covered a similar-ish story of a young woman having to run away from her family in Pakistan, basically, and using a hotel as sort of an underground railroad a while back.
Yeah. We had that woman talk to us about her family essentially like trying to force her into marriage and needing to escape through this hotel, and they kind of, this Pakistani hotel, like already had like they had plans in place for this sort of thing because it happened often enough. And yeah. We did another article a couple of years earlier with a woman who lived in Denmark, and so grew up in, you know, a pretty Western nation, but whose family was very fundamentalist and who was afraid of essentially being murdered for the fact that she wasn't religious and that she was dating guys and, you know, doing all these things that her family had forbidden her from doing. And her fear was that she would go back home to Pakistan on vacation at some point and essentially never come back, which happens to a number of women who are in that sort of situation. So we dealt with back at Cracked a couple of different women coming forward with stories of this sort of thing.
Yeah. And Anna, you were saying that you're familiar with.
Yeah, it happens all the time where, you know, like the King of Dubai's daughter, Sheikh Latifa bint Mohammed Al Maktoum, tried to escape because she was basically being held in a hospital, just drugged because she was considered too wild by her father. And, you know, there was another story of a woman. This was last year. She was trying to get to Australia from Kuwait, and she was held up in the Philippines airport and basically sent back to Saudi Arabia and has not been heard from since.
Jesus Christ. So those are the stories of when this doesn't work out well, or it doesn't work out for the person trying to escape. But
it sounds like Rahaf did all of the things she would need to do to ensure that that couldn't happen to her. Like she learned her English was good enough that she was able to get across the details of her situation in like the videos. And she was smart enough to like, she had a really, I think the smartest thing she did was record herself in that barricaded hotel room, because the visuals of that were just so like, of course that was going to take off. And like, once you get, I think she got something like 45,000 Twitter followers in a couple of hours, which is like, if you're a young woman in her situation, that's the only thing that's going to protect you is creating enough of a media spectacle that they can't just send you home.
Right.
Does it ever happen to sons? I mean, it must, but it tends to happen more and more to women and daughters.
I think it, we've definitely, at Cracked, we interviewed some young men who were, you know, living in more fundamentalist cultures who were in the closet. And, you know, having to hide that from their family and had often had to consider, you know, running away from their home country because, yeah, you, again, it's a situation where you're fighting for your life. It's not, you know, I want to be able to go to the mall. It's mm-hmm. like, Jesus, these people gonna kill will me. Kill me.
Right, yeah. For being who you are.
Yeah. But they have, the men in these situations have a lot more options. I met a young Saudi Arabian male couple when I was in the airport in Amman, Jordan, who had been living in San Francisco for most of the time, and who something was clearly going on, but came back to Saudi Arabia every couple of years to go see their families. And it seemed like the situation was, you know, their families had enough money that they could pretty much do what they wanted, and it was better for everyone if they just did their thing, you know, outside of Saudi Arabia and came back every couple of years to keep up appearances. Like, and I don't think someone like Rahaf would have that opportunity, even though she comes from that prominent and wealthy of a family.
No, I feel like the men get to go on, they basically get to go on vacation, and then if a woman tries it, it's like, no, you're a woman. You need to understand your place. You can't just be running around with anyone. Like, your place is in your home with your family until you're basically arranged to be married to someone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, like, Thailand, are they keeping her at the embassy, or is she going to be, what's her fate so far?
I mean, she's been handed over to the care of the United Nations, and she's somewhere in Bangkok with them right now. And I think from what I've read, it could take 5 to 7 days to get a decision. It sounds like they're going to basically put her plea of asylum status over to the Australians in sort of a formal way. And it sounds like from what Australia said, if for no reason other than the prominence of this story, they're probably going to grant her asylum status. So that would be my guess, is that she winds up living down under, mate.
Oh, wow.
So for her, a happy ending, but I'm, you know, an ending where she survives. But for many, if you don't go viral, you're sent back.
Yeah. I mean, like one of the girls I was talking about last year who got caught up, Dina Ali, she didn't have a chance. And she was trying to go viral. There was like a hashtag save Dina Ali. And yeah, she couldn't do it. And she got sent back and she hasn't been heard from since. She had videos posted where she didn't show her face because she didn't want anyone, you know, to like actually report her if they saw her.
Right.
But if this woman gets sent back, there is a chance she will be killed.
Yeah.
Right.
For her behavior.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Robert. And obviously it's a horrible story, but I think one that a lot of people aren't aware is happening in the world, like in the modern world. And yeah, thanks for joining us, Anna.
I mean, you hope they become activists. Like the more that can get out, the more that they can share their story and be like, no, this is what's happening. I know where this girl lives, this girl lives, this girl lives. Because if there's no survivors of it, then there's no one to carry on this horror.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then if there isn't enough international pressure, because, you know, like,
I mean, us, are we even a part of the UN?
I mean, on paper.
Right. Well, that brings us back to our totally woke government here in these United States. So there's just a total clusterfuck over the government shutdown.
Yeah.
Over, basically, there was a deal the Republicans and Trump was willing to take, and then Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter, who apparently run our government, made fun of Trump, and he decided not to take it and shut down the government. So there's just all sorts of, you know, it's more of this administration just living in a separate reality.
Yeah. Well, and this is like the thing where they clearly thought, okay, we'll shut the government down. We'll have the Democrats by the balls. They're going to collapse, and then we'll get our racist monument erected.
Right.
And what's just sad is like the logic around it is so transparently flawed about just manufacturing a crisis, that there is this crisis at the southern border, and everyone, ask anyone. That's like their vibe. Ask everyone.
Right.
They say we need the wall. Everyone agrees. It's 95%.
It's
more effective than a condom.
All the last presidents.
All the living presidents. Trump was like, they told me we need this wall.
Right.
And then cut to all the spokespeople for these presidents be like, fuck out of here. No one ever said this to him.
Yeah, we don't even talk to him.
Right. Which was funny because on Monday night, Mike Pence did an interview with Hallie Jackson from MSNBC, and she just pressed him in the best way possible over the, like, oh, some presidents? Which ones?
Yeah.
So listen to this full court press from Hallie Jackson.
Which former presidents told President Trump, as he said, that he should have built a wall? All their representatives have denied that that was the case.
Well, you, I know the president has said that that was his impression from previous administrations, previous presidents. I know I know I've seen clips of previous presidents talking about the importance of border security, the importance of addressing the issue of illegal immigration.
Everyone thinks that. Telling the president, though, right?
But look, you know, honestly, the American people.
I didn't know he was allowed to sit with this lady.
Yeah, I know.
I thought that wasn't allowed.
I'm sure Mother is just off camera.
Oh, she's EPing it?
Yes.
She's like, okay, I'm going to be a PA on set today so he can sit and talk to you. He's just.
She's running sound.
He fucked this up from the get-go, though, because it's always been Mexico's going to pay, Mexico's going to pay. And it's like, honey, if you're going to say that, you got to vet that. And the president has, since the beginning of this time, the Mexican president been like, we are not paying for it. Like, and under no circumstances. And so then he's doubled down with this shutdown, been like, I wanted the shutdown. I'll keep the shutdown going.
I'll be proud. Is what
I'll
said.
Be
yeah,
happy to do
right.
it for years. And it's like, that's so, you've now been incorrect, caused this like financial catastrophe for thousands of people, mm-hmm. made a huge issue about something that isn't a pressing issue right now.
Yes.
With all of the other issues going on. And then I wonder, do Anne and Rush, like, are they like happy when he reneges on something because they made fun of him? Like, do they count that as a win or do they not?
I'm sure. Just saying, like, with like someone on Twitter to be like, yo, I clapped back at this person right. and then they took it back. Ah, I feel power.
Yeah.
They
I
think trolled it's just, the troll yeah. into trolling.
Because Anne doesn't want
government.
The wall. She's like very against the wall from.
She's just, but her thing was like, you campaigned on this
yeah.
and you're not going to deliver it. Oh, that's the end of your presidency.
Oh, and that's hilarious and true.
Right. Either
but it's
way,
like,
it's
did
the end
you
of his
not
presidency.
Know that? Is no one telling you
well,
that,
it's
mister?
Weird. It's one of those things, too, where it like you're saying, it's causing a lot of problems. Like, you know, you have hundreds of thousands of people who aren't
getting paid.
Who aren't getting paid. And then you have people who are at risk of losing their like federal assistance for food stamps or if they're in housing programs that are just going to lapse because the government isn't running. And I think now you're seeing like even Republicans starting to really get tired because they're like, look, all right, you tried to do it with the wall or
we're
whatever.
We're not getting
it. It's not happening, fam. So let's move on. And Sarah Sanders went on to what's the boy's name? Chris Wallace's show on Fox. And even he was like having to check her on these like really bogus talking points because even to the right, it's starting to get tired about like. This isn't like you're just saying this about the wall and you're trying to act like it's about border security. But let's be real. This is the wall. This is only about the wall. This was like an interesting exchange between Chris Wallace of Fox News and Sarah Sanders getting into it over, you know, some really bogus statistics they've been throwing around.
Roughly nearly 4,000 known or suspected terrorists come into our country illegally. And we know that our most vulnerable point of entry is at our southern border.
Because I know this statistic. I didn't know if you were going to use it, but I studied up on this. Do you know where those 4,000 people come or where they're captured? Airports.
Not always, but airports. Certainly a
the
large
State Department
number.
Says there hasn't been any terrorists
certainly
that they found coming across the southern border.
It's by air,
from
it's by land, and it's by sea. It's all of the above. But one thing that you're forgetting
travel.
Is the vulnerable point
well,
of entry
ships.
That we have into this country is our southern border, and we have to protect it. And the more and
but
more that
coming,
individuals
they're not coming across the southern border, Sarah.
Right.
They're coming, and they're being stopped
they're
at airports.
They're coming in a number of ways. There's certainly...
There are eight examples. They said she's been saying 4,000. So it's 8 of the 4,000 were people who were suspected of terrorist
on a watch
activity
list.
On a watch list that were stopped at the southern border. All the other thousands, like Fox News, as Chris Wallace said, are coming through the airports. And you know who's not getting paid now that the government is shut down? TSA.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the idea that they are worried about, because everybody's worried about American security. Nobody wants to be killed. Nobody wants to die. But the idea that is what the stakes are for them is insane because
right.
they're clearly...
No, they're just pretending that's what the stakes
they're
are. I don't
undermining
even think
U.S.
Yeah.
security.
Her voice is bad, too. I don't mean to... I mean, she's not going to get voiceover work when this is done. It's like very... Like, when I heard it, I was like, wait, is that Chris Wallace? Like, it's like... It's a bad... It's like, you got to... She needs to... She got like a froggy in there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now,
some voice lessons.
There is a chance to give them the benefit of the doubt. There is a chance that they did not know... TSA was not going to be getting paid when the government was shut down because there's increasing evidence they didn't know what a government shutdown was.
Yeah, like what it would mean.
I guarantee they didn't know.
Well, like quite literally, there's like in a Washington Post article, They're saying, this is a quote from them, the Trump administration, which had not anticipated a long-term shutdown, recognized only this week the breadth of the potential impact, several senior administration officials said. The officials said they were focused now on understanding the scope of the consequences and determining whether there is anything they can do to intervene.
They're only now starting to look at the consequences of shutting the government down, like 3 weeks into a government shutdown?
I bet he thinks, because they did this, it was like the day after Thanksgiving, something. I think he was like, listen, everybody's on holiday break. We'll shut it down. Like, he doesn't know that the government has to run every day, that there's not, like, a snow day.
Right. Everyone, so takes, like, everyone takes those 2 days
everybody,
off.
Kids aren't in school.
Right.
Barron, I haven't seen Barron in a year. Right. So he's off. So I guess we don't need the government for, like, 2 weeks because it's Christmas time and everybody celebrates Christmas. I made Starbucks tell everybody they had to celebrate Christmas.
Right.
So we'll shut it down. And now it's like, hey, boo, we're back and we need the government again.
Right.
Right. Well,
we're coming off of a holiday where you're supposed to spend a bunch of money and we're not getting our first paycheck.
And this is also
the
this is a tough time financially.
It's the danger, too, of having people who work at this, at these high levels, who can't advocate for these people who are going to be most affected by this.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm sure for Steve Mnuchin, how the fuck is he going to care about people snap grants, are like, oh, food stamps?
Right.
Oh, those run out?
Yeah.
We almost need to put, like, one smart person in the administration just as, like, a spy. Not even reporting back to us, but be like, you gotta, listen, you gotta help them. Like, they're fucking with us now. We need one little, who is the smartest
undercover
one?
Undercover smart person?
I don't know.
They all leave.
That was supposed to be Ivanka.
Ivanka. She going to jail.
I know.
And this pisses me off, too, because it's like, I want to be talking about Russia. I don't want to be talking about this wall.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to be doing a countdown, like the ball drop for Russia indictments.
Yeah.
That's what's, I'm having fun with that. You're,
I want to be talking about the substance of what AOC is saying, not her dancing videos and not this made up wall issue.
This Whoopi story is a mess too.
Oh, God damn it, Whoopi.
I mean, this is sort of, I guess this should be filed under no shit, because even in 2016, when Trump was, like, becoming the nominee, he didn't realize that he had to, by law, have a transition team in place to figure out how to prepare to run the federal government. And first he had Chris Christie put some people together, and then he, like, blew that up because he's like, they're stealing my money, is what Trump thought these people were doing.
They were getting paid.
Because they were getting paid to figure out how to transition
power.
Well,
but why does he need a transition team? He's just going to keep all of Obama's people, right?
That's literally what he thought.
Uh-huh.
He thought, like, they just work there, and he pulls up, he's like, I'm the new boss. And they're like, no, my man, you have to put a transition team together to figure out how you are going to change this total, the torch being handed over to you as president.
Right.
He thought he inherits Obama.
I mean, in his defense, I didn't know that either, but I didn't fucking run for president.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm at home brushing my hair.
Right. So is he.
How many brushes do you do?
Actually, I really don't brush my hair. I said that. I brushed it to come here because it was looking a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I've had makeup on in a while. And I ran a brush through my hair for you guys.
We
so that was my
that.
Transition
Thank
team.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Con Air.
Yes.
Or Frederick Fekai. Isn't that another fancy hairbrush?
Con Air.
No, Frederick Fekai. There's like a Fekai one.
You know,
I don't know.
Fekai.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a
As
Fekai.
A bald person, I like to fantasize about using hair products.
It's just wild that there's a brush and an iconic movie with the same name.
Right.
I hadn't even thought. I'd
Wait,
never,
what is it?
Con Air?
Con Air.
And then Con Air.
And Con Air.
Yeah.
I didn't even, I never even looked at it and was like, Nicolas Cage, you know?
His
like,
hair
I was
needed.
Just like, I got a blow.
Right.
Oh, shit. I wonder if they were just like, that idea was incepted into their head. Like Michael Bay was just like doing his wavy
line. It was like cons on an airplane. Yes.
Wait a second, Johnny 23.
Right.
You know, air, that's one way that terrorists get in.
Boom. Sea, land, air, rail, and Segway scooter.
And
zip lining.
Zip lining, yep, and zip cars.
So the other thing that they don't seem to be able to get their shit together about is the withdrawal from Syria. Trump announced on December 19th, our boys, our young women, our men, they're all coming back, and they're coming back now. We won. And then on January 7th, he said, we will be leaving at a proper pace while at the same time continuing to fight ISIS and doing all else that is prudent and necessary. And then when people were like, that wasn't what you said before.
Why are we fighting if we won?
Right. He said, the failing New York Times has knowingly written a very inaccurate story on my intentions in Syria, no different from my original statements.
Okay.
So this is one kind of important, or I guess revealing detail, is, you know, his main national security dude now is John Bolton, and Trump consistently calls him Mike.
Michael Bolton?
I think it's like a case of inception where he constantly is looking at a picture of Michael Bolton wishing he had his hair, and he can't get John Bolton's name right.
Well, they say, in the article that on more than one occasion in front of aides refers to him as Mike Bolton.
I mean, Michael Bolton can't be happy about this.
No.
You know, you don't play a saxophone with that type of love and vote
for this.
Does
he play saxophone?
I don't know what he does. Yeah. What's he sing?
Who's he sing?
Oh, I'm thinking Kenny G. See, I confused Kenny G and Michael Bolton, and I didn't know about a transition team. Maybe I should be president.
Yes.
Yeah, circular breathing Kenny G can do. He played like the longest note ever, I think.
Did they ever duet, Michael Bolton and Kenny G? With their long, curly locks.
I'm sure some record A&R guy was like, you guys should really, I'm telling you, man, this is a fucking dunkaroo. Okay, you guys do a fucking Christmas album, man.
It's a slam.
But Bolton's got short hair now, right?
Yeah, he's got short hair.
Oh, yeah, and he's aged well.
He looks amazing.
I worked with him on a video like last year. We had him play a barista at Alfred Coffee, and he sang people's orders out. And he was just a super nice guy.
Was he?
Yeah, like really down like the stupidest bit where he's like, do like when a man loves a latte.
Yeah.
And he like did it, and I was like, I died inside.
Lane.
Yeah,
he knows.
He totally does. He totally does.
He's probably pissed about this John Bolton situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, that Syria thing also, it's just a mess too in the sense that every fuck up, just we go one rung lower on the fucking the ladder of power in terms of people being able to trust that our foreign policy is coherent or even consistent or reliable in any way. Because if you have one on one side, hey, we're pulling the fuck out of Syria, and then the next one be like, oh, I never said that.
Right.
Oh, we're going to do that the right way.
And also pulling out of Syria as quickly as he was talking about doing it would just leave an entire people to be slaughtered.
This
the Kurds who've been helping us fight ISIS all along would just be left to be murdered.
This is one of those things that's like not talked about as, I mean, I know we talk about Syria, but it's not talked about as much as the wall and Russia and things like that. It's like this will have, we will be able to point back at this moment in decades and go, this is why this happened. This is going to have negative, catastrophic ramifications as much of this presidency will have for decades to come because he's fucked us up on so many levels.
Yeah. I mean, Syria is like, if you were gambling on where the Third World War was going to come from, Syria has all the ingredients.
Does Vegas have that?
We are opening a betting market.
Pull up to Caesars. Hey, y'all taking action on World War III?
Yeah.
We're
on World War Z.
But yeah, you got Russia, you got Iran, you got everybody there. And
North Korea. They're probably a dark horse.
Yes. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back. And Super Producer Anna Hosnier was pointing out that in addition to TSA, air travel is now just less safe because the people who actually do the checks on the planes, also air traffic controllers, you know, they're all pulling double shifts. They're not getting paid. So on the one hand, that's really dangerous for people who are traveling by plane. But on the other hand, I mean, since most of the terrorists are coming in through that way, maybe some of them get killed.
Jesus Christ.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. Holy shit.
You know, the Republicans have always said they wanted smaller government, and now they have no government.
Right.
So they
Boom.
Really,
y'all won.
I mean, 2019, check, check, y'all.
Boom.
The amazing thing about the wall is that, first of all, not only do most people, like the majority of Americans don't want it, but also like Border Patrol people. Like, the head of Border Patrol is like, no, dude, that would do nothing. Like, we need cameras. We need,
like... He's like, you don't know who we're dealing with. These guys are funny. They got tricks.
Right. He's like, a technological wall would be maybe something to talk about. Not a wall
like
wall.
A sea to shining sea wall is what they're saying. Yeah.
He wants, like, a Great Wall of China.
Yes.
I bet he looks at that every night, and he's like, that's what we need.
Hey, wait, do the thing where you go from space. You can see it from space. Look at that.
Mike Bolton, you got to look at this.
Mike Bolton, get in here.
All right, let's talk about another one of our faves, another popular sex crim out here doing his thing besides the president, Mr. Kevin Spacey. So he showed up in court on Monday to plead not guilty, immediately got pulled over for speeding after his trial. Just, you know, he
no
can
ticket,
do no
though.
Right.
No ticket, though.
No ticket. Yeah, of course
He
not.
Did a monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He did another video.
Yeah. I bet you're wondering what I'm doing here, speeding in this here car.
No trial.
Spacey himself didn't speak at the arraignment, which is probably for the best, since he would have just tied a web of lies together using names pulled from items scattered around the courthouse. But he, yeah, I don't know what is happening in his head, but also like around him.
He is another white man who has been gaslit by his own fucking privilege.
Right.
He really thinks this is how he's going to come back.
Right.
Like all this shit, he has no remorse.
Yeah.
That wild video on Christmas Eve.
That's the thing. So people are pointing out that video was well lit. Like it wasn't like he just set up
his
iPhone.
Oh, you're like there was a production staff.
I don't know. I don't like the way it was lit. I think it sounded terrible from a production standpoint.
But he was lobbed. You know, like there was a boom.
It was produced. It was not him doing
a
selfie video.
But it was like no self-respecting. Even like the camera moves were a little whack, a little amateur to me. But you know, I'm not here to critique Kevin Spacey's defense videos. But yeah, definitely people came through to be like, yeah, okay, we'll put the light here, and then you can just weird us all out.
We're going to leave.
Yeah. They're like, yeah.
Just text us when you're done.
And I'll come back and hit stop. Yeah. And then you said you have iMovie on your laptop, and then you can cut it. Okay, great.
Well, that's what I would like to believe happened, but people who are as famous as he is have you know, we've talked before on the show, they have basically an entire company's worth of people who rely on them for a paycheck.
Right.
And, you know, those people are all now full-time looking for new jobs and also trying to come up with strategies for how the spaceman is going to get back in the game.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think in the world of delusion, and especially in the industry that he was a part of, there are people in his phone book that he can point to and go, they did XYZ, and I saw them at the Golden Globes the other night. You know, like, we haven't taken everybody.
No,
so it's like, I bet Spacey's reading these Louis articles. Like, it's like, why me? Why do I have to go away when I know there's 15 other? So it truly, it speaks to, we got to get them all out, because once they're all out and we put them on an island and we make that a reality show where they just see who they harass the best.
Yeah.
We're not gonna, I think that we still have some of these pieces of shit. And so that gives them hope.
Right. Where they're like, well, maybe I'll just start my career somewhere else.
Cause they're bitter.
Right. Isn't he getting offers? Or like, there's rumors that he has offers to work elsewhere in the
world.
Yeah,
Europe and Russia.
What?
Yeah. I mean,
to do
Russian
films?
Probably. With Steven Seagal.
I mean, also, I don't understand some of these people. It's like, you have enough money. You don't need to come back. Louis, you have enough money.
Their egos.
You don't need to go on tour. Yeah. Kevin Spacey, you have enough money. You don't need to stay away from us. Just stay in your fucking mansion.
Yeah.
I would love to stay in a mansion and never have to do anything again. That'd be incredible.
Right. I mean, that's what he's been doing.
The industry that is most famous for having people who just can't quit are boxers who, like, you know, their ego is so accustomed to the adulation that they come back and their job is getting the shit beat out of them.
Right.
So, like, imagine.
I'm facing brain damage.
Yeah. And they still come back. So
maybe that's the reality show. They just box each other.
Oh, that would be.
You know, we do them by weight class. Okay. Harvey, I don't know who goes up against him. He's a big fella.
Spacey did rock a retired since 2017 hat as he delivered a medium cheese pizza to the Daily Mail paparazzi camped outside his home.
Wow. See, and again, like, just the whole flippant attitude from that video to rocking a hat, like, retired since 2017.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's a goof.
It's funny. Oh, yeah, fine. Like,
has he always been crazy? Over. Did this make him crazier? Because he was one that I definitely, like, loved his work.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, oh, if I saw him at a restaurant, you'd be like, hey, he seemed cool.
Yeah.
And now it's like, were you always this insane?
I'm sure.
I mean, with anything, you know, his world is spinning. He's on that ride, and then it suddenly stops spinning. He's going to keep, you know, it takes a big adjustment for him. He's going to keep going, thinking that everything's the same. Everyone's going to find him continually as charming as they always have, because that's just his reality. That's how he existed. Also, according to the Daily Mail, those photographers who he delivered pizza to, they snapped pictures of Spacey spending time in his mansion watching news coverage about himself and reruns of his movie.
No.
So that's a fucking bummer.
Isn't there like a movie like this from the old timey days of like some actor who like...
Yeah, Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
The silent film actress who is like basically a screenwriter, crashes his car and like has to ask for help at this like old dilapidated mansion. And it's like the biggest star from the silent film days. And she basically like... I don't know. Her ego like swallows him up in it, and he ends up getting killed.
Is it a horror movie? Sunset Boulevard.
Sort of.
I didn't know that.
It's a great movie.
I thought it was all like drinking and dancing.
Yeah, that's what I think about Sunset.
Billy
Sunset
Wilder. Boulevard. So there's like really funny moments too, but it's darker. The Apartment, which is a great movie, also. Let's talk about pizza, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave it in a happy place.
Right.
Math has informed us something that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, this was a viral tweet that went around. You guys see this? From Fermat's Library, where basically, you know, they're just using math, right, of how to calculate surface area of a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And what they discovered, which was this information was available to us forever, but that one large pizza will yield you more area of pizza than two smalls combined.
One 18-inch is bigger than two 12-inches.
Yes, so with one 18-inch pizza, you get 254 square inches of pizza. With two smalls, you get 226 square inches of pizza.
Okay, I have to, I don't think people are getting two smalls because they think it's more. I think people are getting two smalls because they're like, I want pepperoni.
Right.
I want mushrooms.
Right. But that's what they're saying is like, if that's the case, yo, just split the thing in half. Unless there's not like some wild dietary restrictions.
And get.
And be like, yo, we're both getting 14 more square inches of pizza.
Right.
Well, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a foot.
You don't got to tell me that.
This has changed everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just funny. That was one of those things. I think that's what's so funny to me is this tweet is purely just doing math.
Right.
Like, these are things we learned, like, in just school, right?
Yeah, wasn't this a problem on one of our tests? Like,
yeah.
Like, if how much pizza will you get if you order? I swear I did this in high school.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Multiplying pie by the square of its radius.
Yeah. Great. A 10th grade geometry question just went viral.
Right, and then just be like, oh, that's right, dude. You get more pie, dude. And the pun is intended when you get the large.
A large just looks cooler, too.
Yeah.
A small pizza, you're like, "What? Did I read a book and I got this as a present?" Like, it's just not enough.
Wait, were you talking about like the book fair or
like
the
book
reading drive?
Or whatever?
Yeah, where you would like, here's a free pan pizza from Pizza Hut.
Yeah, which delicious, love it. But then once you see a large one, you're like, get out of here.
Shit.
I want this Big Daddy.
Also, yeah, back when they had March Madness, like, promos for Pizza Hut.
I thought it was
Hut.
Canceled.
No. Yeah, back when they had March Madness, you remember that? They used to have like a themed basketball every year that Pizza Hut would make for the Final Four tournament. And I remember I would always have to like beg my parents to be like, yo, we got to order the large though, or else we don't get the basketball.
You would get a basketball
yes.
if you ordered a large?
Yes, they would bring
that is a deal.
Yeah. It was a terrible like rubber ball, but like if you're playing outdoor and you're just like a kid just shooting around in the street, perfect ball.
All right. Mm. They should bring that back.
They should. Megan. It's been such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you?
On my Twitter, Megan Gailey. Better Megan Gailey is my Instagram. I have a website. I don't update it. Don't go to it. But there are cute photos.
Okay.
And then, I am going on the road again at some point. We will be doing live Love It or Leave It shows in the next few months and live Hysteria shows all throughout the country.
Mm. I saw the Pod Save Boys on Sunday at the HBO party.
Oh, wow.
I didn't say hi to them because I'm a second podcaster. I just rented a tux from the Black Tux.
Yeah, but they're just podcasters too.
I know. I looked, I was at the awards though, fam. You know what
you
I mean?
Were?
Yeah, but they weren't. So, you know.
Was dinner good?
Dinner was all right.
Oh.
There was a sweet potato soup that was cold, but that's fine. It was meant
it was
to be served
to be cold.
And it was all right. And then the entree was a sea bass, Chilean sea bass.
Ooh, I love sea bass.
On black rice.
Ooh, that sounds good.
With some vegetables. Yeah, yeah.
Did you get drunk?
Not too much. I was wildly jet lagged, and I still kind of am because I just got back from Japan.
But, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Wow, Japan to the Golden Globes.
Just jet setting, you know?
What a man.
Life of a podcaster.
Seriously.
Living the life Kevin Spacey wish he has.
Is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Just the overall Twitter of Lori Kilmartin. She's one of my favorite follows on Twitter. She's so funny. It's 95% funny, 5% mean. And that's a good breakdown.
Mm. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from Kyle Ayers. It says, Sees Music Festival lineup. Ah, yes. I think I've heard of Keeps Looking Down, Further Down Poster. Further Down Poster, sponsored by PayPal. yeah.
Couple tweets I've been enjoying. Jamie Loftus from the Bechdel cast tweeted a little preview of her analysis of What Women Want from the year 2000. She said, the uncanny value of everyone acting like Mel Gibson is hot is worse than the Polar Express. I can't look at him wire his teeth so far into his mouth. Get the teeth closer to the lips, you dumb asshole. I had never noticed that, but that is for sure true.
I haven't noticed that either.
His deep-set teeth?
Deep-set teeth.
Because he's wearing a skin mask.
Gareth Reynolds from The Dollop tweeted, do more mushrooms, use less plastic in 2019. They also had a really good episode about George H.W. Bush that everybody should check out. And then Carne Asada tweeted the picture of Lady Gaga in her giant gown with the long-ass runner. And she said, me when I bring my comforter out to the couch. which is the closest I get to feeling like that. You can follow me over there on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, Miles. What's it gonna be?
Oh, little rap for y'all from Saba and the Mind. This one is called Busy / Sirens. Just a dope little track. Just good production, good lyrics. Really feeling it.
I always feel so hip and cool when I've heard of the person who you recognize.
Yes, and Saba. You are.
Are you gonna sing along?
Uh-huh. Oh,
you
I
love
couldn't.
To sing.
Now, look,
you should have seen me in Japan though. At the karaoke places, they already have Shallow, the song from Stars Born, in the programmed in the thing, and I was like pulling up every time. I'm like, I gotta sing this.
Right.
Tell did you kill it?
Something, girl. Yeah.
And you did Lady Gaga's parts as well.
It's meant to be as a duet, and I sang it with a woman.
Oh, okay.
And then at one part, I had to just get the. Because she wasn't bringing it. You know what I mean?
Oh, she was up there.
She was up there, and I had to be like, I'm sorry, I'm about to.
You took the mic away from her?
Well, I have my own mic. I just turned it up louder. All
right. Well, we are a petty queen. We are going to ride out on Saba. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
I know one time wanna kill me. They don't know me, but they feel me. 15 years old with the sticky. They gon' blame it on the marijuana. Hands behind your head, and they won't mad about the head. But if I move it, this one, yeah. But if they shoot and shit,
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.